And you pray for us this morning. You pray God would help us. Please remember all those that are sick and those that are, we've sent many prayer requests out this week. And we do that so that you will pray. Amen. And if you don't give the email, if you'd like to get a text instead of an email about it, we'll work that out too. We want everybody to be able to be communicated with. And I'll be honest with you, when somebody calls me, do you think about this? I want you to think about this just a moment as people are turning. How much courage does it take you to call me or Dr. Williams and say, would you please put me or my family member on a prayer? Would you please send out prayer request? Think about that just for a moment. It takes courage. You say, what does that mean? Well, it's important enough for them to build up the courage to call and ask us to ask you to pray. So we ought to have the courtesy to them that when we see it, that we would take time out of our schedule and we would pray for them. We know prayer works. I believe that with all my heart. I do. I believe that prayer works. You've come along too late to get me to believe that prayer does not work. And I'm thankful for the privilege, as we were singing that song this morning, and man, about how sweet the hour, man, that we get to come before the throne of God and commune as friend with friend. And man, do you realize what a privilege you have as a child of God to go before the God of heaven as friend to friend? I mean, man, then to bear your heart and your cares and your troubles. Prayer is not an obligation. Man, it's an opportunity. Amen. So often we look at prayer as an obligation. It's not. It's an opportunity. And so often in our lives, we look at things in our lives as a child of God as an obligation. We look at prayer as an obligation. It's not. It's an opportunity. We look at reading our Bible as an obligation. It's not. It's an opportunity. I mean, we look at coming to church as an obligation. It's not. It's an opportunity. I mean, if be honest with you, we'd be a whole lot better Christians if we would quit looking at things as obligations and see the opportunities that God has afforded us because we live in the day of grace. And man, it's an opportunity. And so this morning, if you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 1, or chapter number 2, verse number 1, and I'm going to read down through verses 1 through 4, and then we'll share with you what God's given us. And you pray for us this morning, and you pray that God would give us the words to speak, and that our speaking and our preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God in the demonstration of spirit and of power. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up hither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came there, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were there, were they that buried Saul. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our church. God, we pray, God, for those that are sick. We pray that, God, that you'd be with them this morning. God, we pray that you'd heal their bodies. We pray you comfort their hearts. We pray you'd touch them physically, touch them spiritually. God, we pray that you'd be with those us that are here. And God, we pray that you'd manifest your presence among us today. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that I have the Comforter, Lord, that lives inside of me. Thank you, Lord, that he sees what I don't. And Lord, he can lead me and guide me and direct me in my paths. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you didn't leave me comfortless, Lord, today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities, God, that you've given us, Lord, in this new year. Lord God, as Christians, Lord, as a church, help us, Lord, to make the best and the most of them. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Second Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. If you're taking notes this morning, the first point is the preparation in David's life, or the preparation. Look in verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass. Man, aren't you glad some things in your life has come to pass? I think about that. Man, there's some things come to stay, but I'm glad for things that came to pass. And this day in David's life, understand this, and I'm talking to you about the preparation. It came to pass, but it was after long days and sleepless nights. I mean, man, David here, they'd been many nights of trials and tribulations. They had been triumphs. And the long-awaited day in David's life had finally come. Understand, before God promotes, He prepares, okay? Understand that in your life as a child of God. Before God promotes you, He will prepare you. And David had been called from the pasture to the palace. He'd been put back into the pasture. He'd gone from a sheep keeper to God teaching him to be a shepherd. And God had taken him back to the palace and as a victor, but then turned around and driven him back from the presence of all the people to the cave of Adullam, and then he became a savior and a deliverer to those that were distressed and those that were indebted and those that were discontented. He was hunted down by Saul as an animal of prey. He had been lied upon. He had been took advantage of. Help had been withheld. He had joined the ranks of the world. He had lost all that he had had. He recovered it all and more. His friends had just, he had just buried his king. He had just buried his best friend. He had just lost all that he had and gained it all by. And finally, the Bible says, and it came to pass. You say, what are you saying? I'm beloved, that trial of faith and David's life had finally come to an end. Amen? It finally got to an end and it came to pass. I don't know what you're going through this day, and I don't know what God has for you this next year, but if I look around this morning as I see you and I see people and I look back at my life and I look at some of the trials and the tribulations that I have faced personally, that I have faced positionally, that I have faced as a daddy, that I have faced as a husband, that I have faced as a pastor, just as I face as a child of God, I'm glad some of them are gone. Amen. Man, are y'all all right this morning? We just need to go home. And y'all act like y'all ain't even here. I'm not mad, and it came to pass. Man, I'm glad it came to pass. I know you may be struggling, but my good news is this, is it came to pass. Think about it. And notice this, it was just in a moment that it came to pass. So often in our lives, we think about all these situations and different things of what's going on. And they see, the Bible says this in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, we know that, but do we really act that way? Peter said this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He also said, but God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Remember, David is sitting in a ruined city. He had just buried his king. He just buried his best friend. But we see what God was doing in David's life, and we see what God was fixing to let David do. I'm talking about the preparation. Do you realize that for the last years of your life, the last days of your life, that God is preparing you for such a day as we are living today? God's prepared us as a church. We've just celebrated, what, 52 years? Is that right? 52, 53, somewhere out there. Do you realize that God, through the last 52 years, has prepared us for a day such as this? And beloved, it's time that we as God's children, we quit living in the past, because beloved, some things have come to pass and we just need to go on. I'm not talking about, listen to me, I'm not talking about the things that we've learned. I'm not talking about the people that's helped us. I'm not talking about those that have led us. God has put all those things together. It was a time of preparation. You say, why is God doing this in my heart and in my life now? Why am I suffering this trial? Because He's preparing you for something. Why do I have to go through this? Because He's preparing you for something. Before God promotes, God prepares. I mean, think about this. We just preached through the last year. The last year we preached through, I went back and looked, and it was the second Sunday of January where I preached on looking for a donkey and finding a destiny. It's been a year. It's been a year. And here we are. Y'all remember that message? Saul went looking for a donkey and he found a destiny. And here we are a year later, and a year we've looked at God preparing David for this time. You understand? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. Y'all remember that? The Bible says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I mean, it came to pass. I'm talking about the preparation. You realize it's coming to pass very soon. I want you to think about this. I thought about this this morning as I was in my study. I want you to think about this. If historians write about it, the way the Bible language is wrote, or God inspires, listen to me. You say, well, God can't do that. No, He can. God can do what He wants to because He's God. If God inspires somebody to write another book of the Bible, we can't do that. How do you know? Now, wait a minute. I know them when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. But what about when this church leaves? What about after the millennial reign? What if he moves upon men to write another word of God? Not another, but it's coming from the same God. You're going to sit here and say, God can't do that? You better take God out of that box. So back to what I'm saying. Now, understand this. You got a King James Bible in your hand? We have the preserved Word of God, complete Word of God, for this nation and for this day in our hand. Okay? We have it. But don't put God in a box and say God can never inspire a man again thousands of years from now to write a book. Okay? Don't put God in that box. And I want to say this to you. You say, why do you say all that? Because could you just imagine a writer writing one day, and it came to pass that the Lord Himself descended from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ rose first, and then the church left. I'm not about preparing us for a destiny. Do you do realize that we're living in the days and it's fixing to come to pass? You do realize that God is preparing a place for us. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You do realize that He's building the body of the bride of Christ. And when that last one is saved, I'm not Calvinist here, I understand that. I'm not preaching no Calvinistic doctrine. But when that body of Christ, and God says, son, go get your bride. It's all coming to pass. Amen. And man, this life is just going to be like a vapor. We're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. You say, but preacher, what's God doing for me? Understand, God has got a greater purpose for your life and God has a greater purpose for my life than you and I could ever dream or imagine. You say, but what do we do? Well, first of all, I want you to know, 2019... came to pass. Or 2020 has came to pass. Here it is. And it came to pass. Here we are today. Today, you realize the new year, the new opportunity, the new privilege that you and I have to live today. What opportunity do we have? I mean, think about it. Look. I'm thankful for what God done in 2019. I'm thankful for what God done in 2007. I'm thankful that it's in 1990 that God saved me. But understand, it was all a culmination of events to get us prepared for this day. You say, well, God's still preparing me. Yeah, He is. But He's prepared you for today. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, there was a preparation time in David's life. There was a preparation time in David's life. Are you listening to me? And here we are. It came to pass. And I'm going to say this to you, child of God. You may be facing a trial and tribulation. And I don't know how it's going to come to pass. But you can rest assured that as a child of God, it's not taking Him by surprise. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love the God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And beloved, it may come to pass, when we leave out of here. But rest assured, your trials and tribulations will come to pass. But it's all about preparation. Now let's look at this one. Look at verse number 2. Or verse number 1. And it came to pass after this, there's your preparation, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up? I want you to see the persuasion here. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I want you to see the persuasion that David had. What does the Bible say that David done? David inquired of the Lord. I want you to listen to me right quick. You know why you don't pray? You know why I don't pray? We don't think it's valuable. You will seek what's valuable in your life. And prayer had become valuable to David. Think about what he had been through. Think about all the trials and tribulations that he had been through. This has been 8 years going on, 9 years, almost 10 years, somewhere in there in David's life. Think of all the times that he had left God. Think of the times that he went down there into the land of the Philistines and he didn't inquire of the Lord. And remember, he had just suffered the fact that he had lost everything. He had just realized that him, listen to me, he had realized God had persuaded him through his trials and tribulations of preparation that he needed to seek God in his life. You say, why is God allowing me to suffer all these things? Why do I face this same trial and this same test? Because God's trying to persuade you to seek Him. He's trying to persuade you. I mean, here you are, and what's today, the 6th, 5th? Here we are, 5 days into the new year. In five days, have you got on your face before God and said, God, what shall I do in 2020? David had. It was a new day in David's life. And he was persuaded that God's plan for his life and God's purpose for his life was greater than anything that David could dream of, greater than anything that David had went his way, and David had seen the destruction and the misery that it had brought to him. And David was persuaded to inquire of the Lord. I'll be honest with you, understand what did the Bible say, knowing this, that the trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You understand this, that God persuades us to seek Him? You realize that? Remember, as it was up on the board on Sunday school, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not, as, and I seen the picture over here of this puppet on the string, and I just made the assumption in my mind, but I really believe what Dr. Williams is saying was this, is we're not puppets on God's strings. We make a choice. But I will tell you this, we do belong to Him, and He will put things in our life. Amen. That will persuade us to seek Him. Mm-hmm. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He will put us in situations, and I want you to understand, David had been persuaded through his preparation, the best thing I can do in this opportunity that I have is to seek God in my life. You say, what's my vision for 2020? What's our vision for 2020? Seek God. What greater vision could you have? David said, look what the Bible says. And David inquired of the Lord. David had learned to pray. David had learned to praise. He had learned of God's strength. He learned of his own weakness. David had made decisions without the Lord, and each time it brought shame. And David had learned to seek God in his guidance. The Bible says this. If any man lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation. Why don't you ask God? The Bible says He gives it to all men liberally. Ephesians 5:17 says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, I don't know what the will of the Lord of my life is. Well, the Bible says, be ye not unwise. What does unwise mean? Not having wisdom. Well, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So how do I find the will of God? I ask Him. Right? Amen. So David here, he needed wisdom. He said, Lord, I know that You've anointed me king. Lord, I've waited 9 years or ten. I'm going to say 10 years. Lord, I've waited 10 years for this day. Lord, Saul is dead. Now what shall I do? I'll be honest with you, sometimes we have an opportunity such as that and we say, okay, we get it in our mind, God's given me this position. God's put me here. God's promised me this. And now the obstacle is out of the way, so it must mean that I'm ready to take over. How many times we made that mistake in our life? God began to put things together and we said, okay, now's the time. When it wasn't the time. We got ahead of God. It wasn't that it wasn't God's will, His end will for us to be in that position. But we just wasn't ready. Because He said, Lord, what shall I do now? Saul's dead. Lord, what shall I do? Shall I go up to Jerusalem? Shall I go up to the throne? The people know that I'm king. They know that you've anointed me as king. Even the Philistines know, Lord, shall I go up? What shall I do? You say, what are you saying, preacher? Sometimes our wisdom gets us into trouble. And no matter the fact that God has provided it and God has put it together, sometimes God says, you need to wait and be patient. But David had been waiting 10 years, hadn't he? But he still went to the Lord. He said, Lord, shall I go up? See, David had been persuaded through his preparation that the best thing he could do was seek God and wait on God in his life. You say, preacher, and I had a conversation with a man the other day in the church about this. He said, preacher, and he wasn't a critical question. We was asking about something. I said, God ain't said move. I said, God ain't said to do that. Well, do you believe it's God's will? I said, yeah, I do. I said, but in God's time. In God's time. Why? Because I've made decisions in my life and I knew that it was right. But understand, it wasn't in the timing that God had. And David here inquired of the Lord because he wanted God's direction in his life. And what we need as a church and what we need as Christians is God's direction in our life in this next coming year. Notice the specifics of his prayer. Look what he said. He said, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Lord, shall I move? Or Lord, do you want me to stay here in Ziklag? See, sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we pray generally and not specifically. I remember Brother Jimmy Clark, and he was instrumental in my prayer life and teaching me about fasting and praying. And God, I mean, and I'm not saying that he taught me that, but he encouraged me and he helped me there. And I'll never forget, about 12 years ago, he was driving a little old S10 pickup, and somebody at Wahoo, he had got a brand new Chevrolet pickup. Extended care. And he stood in the pulpit there and he said, I'm praying for a 1500 extended care four-wheel drive pickup. And he said, I'm praying with this kind of interior, I'm wanting it this color, and I'm wanting this model. And he said, you ask me why I pray specific? He said, because God answers specific. I've heard preachers preach it. I've heard teachers teach it. But so often we talk about praying and praying and praying, but we don't pray specifically. We ask God generally. Why don't you pray for specific things? You say, what are some things specifically we ought to pray for in our church? Number one, I'm going to give you something to pray specifically for. There's 6 Sunday school rooms downstairs sitting empty. Think about that just for a minute. God's prepared those Sunday school rooms. Ever how many years ago, those men decided to build this church and put those 6 Sunday school rooms in this basement. And they're sitting there empty. I'm talking about preparation. You understand what I'm saying? But there's some specific things that, and we're going to talk about that not in this message, but there's some specific things that we need to pray about. Lord, they're here, but Lord, fill them. Lord, do this. Lord, I'm asking you specifically. Shall we go? Lord, will you? He said, not only, he said, shall I go? But then notice what he said. Shall I go up? And how, what did the Lord answer? Look. He said two words. Go up. Wasn't a 30-minute message. Wasn't a 15-minute dissertation. It was go up. But then notice how much David wanted to be in the will of God for his life. Notice what he said. Whither shall I go? Lord, shall I go up? He said, yes. He said, well, where? He said, I'm glad you asked. You understand, the throne was in Judah. Are you listening to me? The throne was in Judah. But God knew what was going on at the throne in Judah. God, listen, He sees what we don't. God knew that Abner was fixing to put Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, up as king in Jerusalem. God also knew that if He had allowed David to go up to Jerusalem the same way that He did Saul, and I'm not going to get ahead of my message here, but the same way that He did Saul, that it was could have been a catastrophe for David. But He said, David, I want you to go to Hebron. Now, understand this place that God sent David. Understand this. This place that God sent David was the plain of Mamre where Abraham dwelt. Mamre meant vigor and strength. Hebron means seat of association. It's derived from the word friend. Listen to me. God will always direct you to be associated with His wills and His ways that He can show you His strength and His guidance in your life. It was the first parcel ever purchased by an Israelite or a Hebrew. Abraham bought it to bury Sarah. David is anointed king here in this place and reigns for 7 years before moving to Jerusalem. You say, will God give me that kind of direction in my life? Will God be specific for me in 2020? Will God be specific for our church in 2020? If He done it to Abraham, and if He done it to David, and He done it to Saul, why would we think He wouldn't do it for us? Well, I've been praying about something for years, and I've been really feeling God's been nudging me. Will God give me direction? You better believe He will, if you ask Him. He's prepared you for this. What grade are you going into? 12 and a half? 11 and a half? 12 and a half? Right? You're going in to finish your last semester? Is that right? This year? You know why? You know why you're not going in second grade? Because God prepared you all these years to get you and finish you into this last year of school. God's prepared you. Stephanie, God's prepared you, even though you're like the rest of the kids of college that don't want to go to school. I mean, who wants to go to school? I mean, think about it. We got one back here who wants to go to school. I mean, if I had got to play all day and take naps, I'd want to go to school too, amen? But nobody liked going to school. But God's prepared us. The reason God didn't throw us in 12th grade when we started is because we wouldn't have been prepared for it. The reason He started us in kindergarten or pre-K was to prepare us. And do you realize that God has invested eternity in you to prepare you and I for a day such as this? And you don't think that God's going to be specific when we ask Him about direction in our life? Do you not think that God's got an eternal purpose and an eternal plan for us? And just because He's promised us a new heaven and a new earth, and just because He's promised us a new home, it does not mean that He's ready for us to obtain it. He had promised David this throne. Now notice this. We see the persuasion. Notice the pursuing. And I'm going to be done here and I'll finish the rest of it tonight. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. So David went up. Now understand, and I'm closing with this. It was not God's will for David to rule and reign over all of Israel at this point. But it was God's will for David to go up to Hebron. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we pray and God gives us an answer and we don't like it. And we keep praying about it. Are you listening to me? But Lord, it's not Jerusalem. Lord, that's not where the palace is. Lord, that's not where the seat of the city is. That's not where Saul was ruling from, God. Go up, David. But Lord, you mean you're going to send me to Hebron? Yeah, David, that's a place of fellowship and strength. David, I'm sending you there first. But Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for the throne, God. God says, no, you're not. I got 8 more years to prepare in you. I got 8 more years to put into you before you're ready for the whole throne of Israel. But right now, David, I want you to go to Hebron. This year, David, I want you to go to Hebron. You know what David? You know what the Bible say? And David done what? He went up. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for a better time. He didn't wait for the stars to align. Are you listening to me? So often in our lives, we pray about a will of God and pray about God's will and pray about God's will and pray about God's will and pray about God's will. And God gives us an answer, but we're waiting for the stars to align, or we're waiting for God's will to be more than what we want it to be. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And then you know what God does to us? God says, okay, if you're going to be disobedient, guess what? Well, I guess I'm going to have to persuade you to seek me again. Same lesson. I thought that these 8 years that I had invested in you, I thought that I had persuaded you to the point that my way was better than yours. But amen. Since you don't understand it, and since you think your way's better, I guess I just have to take you back to school again. Amen. You say, preacher, what do I need to do in 2020? Exactly what God tells you to do. When? Exactly when God tells you to do it. How? Exactly the way God tells you to do it. And don't question it. He sees what we don't. But I want to be in Jerusalem. God says, you ain't ready for Jerusalem. You're not ready for Jerusalem. You're just ready for Hebron. And then we're going to see tonight, the Lord willing, why God sent him to Hebron. We're going to see why God sent him to Hebron. But what's our 2020 vision? First of all, is it came to pass. Yesterday's gone. God's prepared us as individuals. And God's prepared us as a church. Just as Mordecai told Esther, who knoweth thou art cometh unto the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, it came to pass. And then he says, I've prepared you all of this time for this. And I hope that you've been persuaded through your life to know that my will is better than your will. And I hope that I have persuaded you that the best thing you can do is seek me and seek me early, the Bible says. And then the best thing you can do is be prompt when I give you directions. And be satisfied with it. because I see what you don't. We're standing all over the house. Miss Evelyn's coming to the piano. I don't know how to give a verse of invitation this morning, but I do know this. I know that what God has for us is greater than anything we've ever experienced as an individual and greater than anything we've ever experienced as a church. And this trial of life that we're living, one day it's coming to pass. As we sing the song, there's coming a day when the hired age shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Man, it's coming to pass one of these days. I mean, we're going to be able to look back, and as I said, you know, God could rewrite history and say, or write another Bible to another creation. You say, God ain't got one. How do you know? You mean there's another world out there? I don't know. All I know is about this one. I've learned not to put God in a box. I can put Him in this Bible. But there's a lot of unanswered questions. But anyway, wouldn't it be great to look back at history and say, and it came to pass that one day they had service and the next day they were gone. You say, that don't excite me, that scares me. Well, I'd check up then. Play, Miss Evelyn. I'm going to keep preaching. I don't know how.